Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Welcome to a very, very special service here at Watoto Church. And it's a special service this weekend because it's a celebration service celebrating 25 amazing years of the Watoto Children's Choir. And we love to celebrate and we love to tell of the amazing things that God is doing here at Watoto Church.
You know, the Watoto story is a God story. It really is a miracle story. I love Psalm 145, verses 3-4, and it says, God is magnificent. There are no boundaries to His greatness. Generation after generation stand in awe of His works, each one telling of the stories of His mighty acts.
So we've come to boast. We've come to brag. We've come to tell you, not about us, but about our amazing God. And you know what God does? He often asks you to do something, and it's pretty intimidating, but God says, if you'll obey me and you'll listen to me and you'll take a chance, I'll be with you and I'll do something amazing. And so we've come to tell you about those amazing stories, some of the great things that God has done over the years.
And we pray our stories inspire you. You know, I'm just a simple Canadian pastor's daughter who's been married for 45 years to this wonderful man. I love you.
Thank you. Love you too.
But it was 35 years ago that God called Gary and I to Uganda. And I've got to tell you, Uganda in 1983 was not a country that people were running to. It was a country that everybody was running away from because it was so dangerous. And the first 5 years of my life here, I had many opportunities to test the boundaries of God's greatness. But I can stand before you this morning, this weekend, and tell you there are no boundaries to His greatness. I remember we'd only been here just a few months. I was all alone with the kids. Gary was away in Kenya. In the middle of the night, a gang of 25 men came to our house and they tried to break down a simple wooden door that I could have broken down myself. I could hear them. They were pounding on our door saying, "You open, we're going to kill you. We're going to rape you. We're going to steal everything that you have." I'm not going to tell you I wasn't afraid. I was terrified. I've never been more scared in all my life. And I had only one thing on my mind. I cannot wait for that man of God to get home, because when he gets home, I am gonna give him a piece of my mind. I had the scene all worked out in my head, you know? Gary was gonna drive the car down the driveway. He was gonna roll the window down and he was gonna expect me to come and give him a great big kiss on his cheek. But I wasn't gonna do that. I was gonna come out with my hands on my hips and I was gonna say, "Gary, what kind of a crazy man could bring a wife and three children to a place like this? You need your head read. They have a place for you here in Uganda. Actually, they have a word for you, Gary, and it's called Mulalu." I wanted to tell him, "Take me home to my mother." But you know, friends, I heard a voice. I heard a voice, and that voice said, "Get up, girl, get up. I did not bring you to Uganda to be paralyzed by fear. I brought you here for a purpose." And I had to make what I think is probably the most important decision I've ever made in my entire life, next to being a follower of Jesus Christ and marrying the most wonderful man in all the world. I actually had to choose, was my fear going to be stronger than my faith, or was my faith going to be stronger than my fear? You know, I believe that Jesus put angels on the other side of that door, and they could not break that door down. And I chose to believe that if Jesus could keep a gang of 25 men out of a simple wooden door, there is nothing in this world that is impossible for Him, because even gangs of thugs are no boundaries for the greatness of Jesus Christ. And you know, friends, not only are we celebrating 25 years of the Watoto Children's Choir, but this April 22nd, it will be 35 years of Watoto Church. And the past 35 years, we have literally seen tens of thousands of lives transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. But we've also seen an entire nation transformed as Jesus' culture has inculcated every sphere of influence. Faith over fear works.
Those were tough days. They were really tough days. A lot of people, most people who even come to Watoto Church, a lot of them weren't even born when we came to Uganda. And those were days that your parents will tell you about. They were fearful days. They were they were terrible days. But you know what? Whenever things get tough and God has an assignment for you, He's about to do something exciting if you'll just obey Him. Mm-hmm. If you'll allow your faith in what God has called you to do, your faith in who God is, to be greater than the fear or the thing that is intimidating you. And so we've come to let you know that God has done awesome things in the past. He did it in my generation. But we're also here to tell you that God wants to do something fresh. God wants to do something new. He wants to do something in this generation.
Amen.
He's raising up a generation of new, young leaders who He's giving a God assignment to go and do great things.
Yeah.
And so we believe that God is not finished with Watoto yet.
Yeah.
God has some awesome things that He wants to do in the days that lie ahead. And Marilyn and I, we want to leave a heritage.
Yes.
We want to leave you with an amazing heritage of what God did yesterday. We've lived a kingdom-focused life.
We have.
It's never been about making a name for ourselves or making money for ourselves or impressing anybody. It's just been about lovingly and obediently being faithful to what God called us to do, even in difficult circumstances. We serve diligently and faithfully and sacrificially. But you want to know something? Our heritage is important, but our heritage is no guarantee of our future. Our great future depends on more than what happened yesterday.
Yes.
It depends upon learning to live by faith today and by living by faith tomorrow. Each generation needs to live by faith. You see, you can't depend on the great successes of the past. God wants to give you successes today. It's not about the great stories of yesterday, the great preaching, the great buildings, the great worship. It's not about the theological degrees that you might have got. It's not even about that great heritage, your great past. It's about God wants what God wants to do in the future. And the only way you'll inherit the future is to live by faith in the promises that God has made about the future. And that's what faith will do. Faith will take us to our preferred future.
Yes.
Faith will take us where God wants to take us and where God wants us to be. Faith will take us out of our comfort zone. And faith will take us to a place where without God, you will probably fail. And that's the way it was for David when he stood in front of Goliath. He was standing in front of Goliath, and without God, it was impossible. But you know what? God didn't fail David. In fact, what happened with David at that point set him up for the future that God wanted him to have. And he became a great king over a great nation and led Israel into the greatest history of the nation of Israel. But it started with that faith over fear moment when he stood before Goliath. Sure enough, Goliath came down. How do you think the people of Israel felt when they were called to go and inherit the promised land, and they stood before the walls of Jericho, an enemy that was greater than them? They were probably intimidated. They were probably full of doubt and fear and wondering, what are we doing here? But you know what? The walls came down because faith in God is greater than our fear.
Yes,
How do you think they felt when they stood at the edge of the Red Sea and the Egyptian armies were coming down on them? And they thought, wow, what is going to happen next? You know what happened next? A miracle. God called them to do something, to leave Egypt, to inherit the promised land. And the waters of the Red Sea parted. And they walked through on dry land. Why? Because their faith in God was greater than their fear. And that's what God wants to do in us. That's what God wants to do in you. That's what God wants to do in this next generation, is to help us to realize that once in a while, God will call you to do something that seems impossible, something that seems almost insane.
Yes.
But if you will be obedient to God, He will help you through. How do you think Daniel felt when they lowered him into the lion's den? Probably fearful, intimidated, worried, but he had a faith in God.
Yes.
How do you think the three Hebrew young boys felt when they were thrown into the fire? This is gonna be really tough. No, they had faith in God, and faith over fear always triumphs, always wins.
Amen.
And that's what we're here to tell you.
Yeah.
Sometimes in our most fearful moments, God's best work is about to happen.
That's right. You know, friends, I think a lot of people don't understand what faith is. Faith is not manipulating God for gain. Faith is a strong belief in the supernatural power of Jesus Christ that controls human destiny. Faith, my friend, is a living, bold, creative thing. Faith, it changes our thinking. It changes our hearts and it changes all our power. Do you know what faith is? Faith is taking the boundaries off of God. And Jesus actually said, without faith, you can't please him. But with faith, all things are possible.
So we need to learn to live by faith. And faith is big and bold and audacious. Faith reaches out for what seems to be impossible. Faith helps us to attempt not simple things,
yeah,
but great things for God. Faith will take you to the place where when it's all over, you won't be able to say, look how smart I am.
Yeah.
You will say, look how great God is. And there are no boundaries to his greatness. God loves to
Amen.
Do awesome things, miraculous things, so that he can make himself famous. And you know what? He always uses people, like those people we talked about a moment ago. And so this kind of faith means that you can be fully dependent
yep.
on God.
Yep.
You can totally trust God.
Mm-hmm.
You know that God will never, ever let you down.
Yeah.
Faith is the way the kingdom of heaven works.
Yeah.
Even the world was made, and we believe it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go and read Hebrews chapter 11, it's all about all the people through the Old Testament who learned to live by faith. Faith is the way the kingdom works in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you know, the Bible says, we are in the world, but we're not of it. And then Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble, but be of good comfort. I have overcome the world. And then Jesus said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So as Christians living in this world, this intimidating world, the way we win is by putting our faith in this immutable, unchangeable, awesome, amazing God. You know what? The world will try to paralyze you and intimidate you with fear. But if you put your trust in God, God is always bigger than that. When you're faced with an impossibility, faith is being tested.
Yes.
And when your adversaries and your enemies are rising up against you, faith is being tested. And the Bible talks about the trial of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith really is refined and becomes stronger when you face difficulties.
Yes, it is.
You become stronger. It's the trial of your faith. It's like fire that comes against you. But like those three Hebrew children, the fire won't touch you. You'll come out clean on the other side. Wow, it's an amazing way to live.
Yeah, it is. You know, Gary, I actually believe that the best friend of faith is our testing. And sometimes I feel like my time in Uganda has been one humongous faith testing adventure. But you know, in the Bible, we read that gold that is put through the fire comes out pure. But faith that is put through testing comes out genuine. You know, several years ago, we were eating our dinner. Armed gunmen walk into our house. They walk up to Gary and they said, everybody, put your heads on the table now. I'll never forget it because our oldest son, we were eating chili and he looked at me, rolled his eyes in his head and plopped his head down in his bowl of chili. And then the man with the gun in Gary's head said, we want all the money that you have, everything, dollars, pounds, shillings, everything. Gary lifts his head and he said, keep yourself calm. We'll give you what you want and then you can leave. The man who was in charge said, don't let him talk to you like that, just shoot him. Gary takes him to the office where we had about $100 stored in our safe, but the key to the filing cabinet was in my purse. So they thought Gary was trying to play a trick on them. They pushed him to the floor, ripped the electrical cables out of the wall and tied him up in what was called the bow tie. Those of us that were alive back then know what that was. They came and got me and the kids, tied us up in the bow tie too, ransacked our house, took the money that we had and decided it wasn't enough money. So this one man, he yanks me to my feet and he says, lady, this isn't enough money. You must give us more money. I looked at him. I said, we don't have any more money. We've given you everything we have. He put his face right to mine and he said, lady, maybe you don't understand, but tonight you're going to lose your life unless you give us more money. And it was like a boldness came over me. I looked him straight in the eyes and I said, you can go ahead and shoot me right now. We don't have any more money. We've given you everything we have. Gary told me later, he said, Marilyn, that was the most stupid thing that you could ever say to someone. You don't tell someone to shoot you, and the gun was at the back of my head, not yours. That's true. The man who was in charge said, okay, shoot her husband. He cocked the gun, he pulled the trigger, and nothing happened. He said, I said, shoot her husband. He cocks the gun, he pulls the trigger, nothing happens. He said, I said, shoot her husband, now shoot him now. His hand started shaking. He looked at me and he said, I can't shoot him. And then he said, are you a Christian? I said, of course we're Christians. It was like a blanket of confusion fell from heaven. Those men picked up what was in their hands and they ran out of our house. You know, friends, I had to make another choice that night. I had to choose faith over fear. I said to myself, you know the Bible, it says some trust in their strength in war, some trust in weapons, some trust in wisdom, but the miracle I need tonight can't be won by any man. I need to put my hope in the Lord my God so that I can rise full of strength and courage. You know, in Deuteronomy we read, this is what they were told, the children of Israel. Remember every road that God led you on, pushing you to the very limits so that he would know what you are made of. You know, sometimes I think that God allows us to go through hard times. He allows us to be tested so he knows what we're made of. What's he doing? Is he testing our faith? Yes, but more than that, he is testing our obedience so he can see what kind of God assignment he's going to give us next. You know, as you read on in Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is what God says. He said, I allowed you to experience lack so that you could learn that men don't live by bread alone, but something far more important than food or possessions, and that is obeying God. You know, I believe that faith and obedience are cousin sisters, cousin brothers. They're inextricably woven together, and there is no faith without obedience. So Jesus never, I don't know if this is theologically correct or not. Tell me that it is, please. Jesus never tests your faith. He tests your obedience.
Wow, that's interesting. Faith is not seeing things as they are, but seeing things as God sees them, seeing things as God wants them to be. And so we've lived this life, amazing life, stories, so many stories of God asking us to do something, and then it seemed like it was impossible. And there was enemies that rose up against us, or there were circumstances that came against us. And it was too much, there wasn't enough money, or there were people that were coming against us. But you know what? God never lets you down when he asks
never.
You to do something.
Never.
We were having an awesome time at the Imperial Hotel, but the building was too small, too many people coming to church, and we needed another building. And so we began to look around, and then God finally led us to the building that we're sitting in right now to do this recording, and that's the downtown Watoto Church building. It was called the Norman Cinema. It was born the same year that I was, 1952, but it was now a broken building. And we came to this building, and Marilyn and I walked in the side door, and it was a completely broken, devastated building. The roof leaked so badly, you would have to have an umbrella if you had something going on the inside and it was raining. The theater seats were ripped and torn. The screen was ripped and torn, and there was an old rickety wooden platform, and I think there were rats and cats and bats and elephants living underneath this platform. It was a pretty bad building. There were 30 people watching a little TV screen, and Bruce Lee was in the process of demolishing somebody else. And I said out loud, I said, oh, Marilyn, what a waste of a fantastic building. And I had a vision. I saw the building, not as it was, but God showed me the building as it could be, as it was going to be. He showed me the building now, full of light, totally renovated, and completely new. And the best part, it was full of young people, and their hands were raised, and they were swaying, and they were singing a song of worship to Jesus. And I knew that that was the building that God wanted us to have. But you know what? The army actually was occupying this building. And that little TV was a soldier making some extra money. And in those days, the army was pretty rough. and they would go out at night and they would loot and they would pillage and they would steal from the community. And this was the building that they would come back to. And they even interrogated political prisoners inside this building. There was no way that we were going to get that building. And then again, fear rises in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so you know what we did? We prayed for a whole year.
Yeah.
Watoto Church prayed. We were the KPC then. Mm-hmm. And we prayed. And we knew that God wanted us to have this building. And then things began to become very insecure in the country. And Mr. Museveni was then with his rebel army in the bush, and they were getting closer to the city. And the American ambassador came to our home.
Yeah.
And he said, we're Canadians, but even the Canadians weren't here. The American ambassador came. He said, you know, Mr. Skinner, you need to ask yourself, why are you here? I'm not telling you have to go, but we're going to have war in this city. And it's dangerous. Even my staff has gone. I'm just left with a skeleton staff, Marines that are protecting me. And we were ready to go.
And I was saying, Gary, this is a prophet sent from God, a well, word from God for our family.
and we were ready to go. And it was an intimidating situation. And we heard gunfire every night. And you could see the helicopters flying. And sometimes they were shooting out of the helicopter. Those were tough days. And insecurity. And you know what? It's at moments like that that you have to choose faith over fear. You have to decide that what God has promised you is bigger than the thing that is a problem around about you. And so we said, God, what do you want us to do? And as we were praying, God said, I want you to stay. I don't want you to leave. And so we did. And then we went, and God said to us, I want you to go and ask for that building for some special meetings. And when you go into that meeting, into that building, they're going to give you the building for those special meetings. You're not going to leave. So we went and asked permission. We invited a special preacher from Canada, and we came into this building on Easter Sunday, April the 22nd, and we began some services. And in the middle of that week, do you know what happened? The coup took place, and the soldiers came in. And all the people that had occupied this building fled for their lives, leaving us as the squatters. And we've never left this building. God gave us this building. Wow! Faith over fear always works. And today we've gone from one celebration point to two, to many other celebration points, 13 celebration points with lots and lots, tens of thousands of young people all over the city. Why? Because when God wants to do something, He'll ask you. But there will be enemies that will come against you. And you have to, at those times, learn faith is much greater than fear and intimidation.
But you actually saw it as it was going to be, not the way it was. So faith is seeing things not as they are, but as they will be. And you know, I've come to realize that sometimes your eyes of faith won't focus because, like Gary said, too many enemies come against it. But I've got good news for you. Friend, it's time to put away your microscope. You know, a microscope sees everything that is wrong in your life, but you got to take out your telescope because telescopes see things that are in the future. So some of you need to get that microscope away from you. Take out your telescope.
See what God wants to do ahead. God always wants to do great things ahead. And that's what God wants to do here at Watoto Church. And we're going to talk about that in some of the weeks that lie ahead. Some of the amazing things that I know God is still calling us to do as a church. And they're big, bold, audacious things that God wants us to do. And without God, it's going to be impossible.
Yeah.
But with God, all things are possible. And God is calling us as a church to reach out to Him and believe Him and trust Him for the amazing things that He wants to do. But you know what's going to happen? Enemies are going to rise up against us.
Yeah.
Enemies that will try to stop us from inheriting
yes.
what God wants us to inherit. You see, Satan hates faith.
He hates it.
And what does he do? He brings fear. He tries to intimidate you. Intimidation is one of his tactics. He'll try to say, you're inadequate. You're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have enough money.
Yeah.
And you don't have enough resources. And he'll try to put doubt in your heart. Are you sure this is what God has told you to do? He will put fear in your heart. Fear of failure. What if you try and you don't succeed? All of these things will bombard you. And fear is that enemy that comes against us to try to hold us back. But God says, trust me.
Yeah.
Put your faith in me.
Yeah.
Like all the great people of the past who've done anything great for God, put their faith in me. Why don't you put your faith in me as well? And so that's what God is wanting us to do. God is wanting us to put our faith in Him. Faith is always enough.
Yes, it is. You know, last week we learned that one of the pillars of faith is courage. And as I got thinking about courage, courage is actually the ability to do something that frightens you. So how do you build courage? You have to remind yourself of past victories. And that's what we've been doing today. We've been reminding you of stories of Wetoto Church, where God has come through when we've put our faith in Him. Because friends, hear me, this is important. God has made a reputation for Himself throughout history that has not diminished. The reputation that He made at the Red Sea, the reputation that He made at Jericho, the reputation that He made when I was living in Kansanga, the reputation that He made right here at Wetoto Church downtown. He is still building that reputation. It has not diminished. When you put your faith in Him and you cast fear aside, look out, because God is about to do something supernatural.
You know what fear will do? Fear will paralyze you, but faith will mobilize
you.
Yes, fear will stop you in your tracks, but faith will get you back onto track.
Wow.
Fear locks you into a prison of impossibilities, but faith releases you into a world of God's unlimited possibilities.
Yeah.
So don't follow fear, follow faith, all the wonderful things God wants to do.
And you know the amazing thing about faith? I love this. It doesn't have to be big.
Mm.
Jesus said, you only need faith the size of a mustard seed. Like, that is pretty tiny. You know, your faith, it may seem insignificant. It may seem small. But we've come to tell you today, God delights in the small. Jesus delights in the insignificant. Why? So that He can put His might on display for all to see. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus said this. Jesus said, I don't care about your gold. I don't care about your ability. I'm not going to put the treasures that you have accumulated to yourself on display for the world to see. I'm going to put your faith on display for all to see. Why? As evidence of His victory. Because like Gary said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory that will overcome your circumstance in life.
So we're here this weekend, and we're celebrating 25 years of Wetoto Children's Choir. God spoke very clearly. He said, Gary, I want you to put the children together in a choir. I want you to send the children around the world. I don't want you to tell a sad story. I want you to tell a glad story. I want you to tell a story of hope and redemption. I want the music to be uplifting and worship-filled. I want you to tell the world the amazing thing that I can do in broken people. And you know, it seemed like an impossibility, the money that was needed to be able to do that, the music that was needed, the uniforms and training the kids, and it became a massive job. And Marilyn and I actually traveled with those first choirs. And we took down some of our equipment here, and it was the equipment that we used on the road. But you know what? God opened door after door after door. And that children's choir went from one choir to two choirs to three choirs. And part of this weekend's celebration is that we're celebrating the 100th choir.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
The 100th children's choir that has gone out telling the amazing story of Jesus. Do you know, when God gives you a vision and God gives you a dream, it'll seem like it's too big.
Yeah.
It'll seem like there's impossibilities. It'll seem like people will tell you, wow, you can't do that. It'll cost too much. I remember people trying to tell me that when we started the children's choir. And I said, you know what, we're going to care for 10,000 children. They said, you know how much money that's going to cost? I hadn't even given it a thought, because I know that God's provision is always equal to the vision that He puts inside us. But today, as I look back at Wetoto Children's Choir, as I remember what it was in those days, but I now see what God is doing today. It's a story again of faith being greater than fear.
Mm-hmm.
I get the chance to travel around the world and go to many countries of the world where the choir goes. And I hear story after story after story of how God has taken little insignificant children and He is using their story to bring people to faith. You know, they invited us to Japan, to go to Japan and visit the churches there and to encourage the pastors, because in Japan, the churches are very small. If you have a church of 50 people, it's a big church. A church of 100 people, it's really a huge church. If you have one person getting baptized every year, they're so excited. And they told us the greatest evangelism tool that we know of, the pastor of the largest church in Japan, a friend of mine said, the greatest tool that I know of for evangelism in Japan is Watoto Children's Choir. I said, wow, how is that? He said, I don't understand what it is. But when we bring the children's choir and we announce a concert, he said, people, Japanese people who've never been to church, Japanese people who've never heard the gospel, come and listen to the children's choir. We have our biggest attendances at church when Watoto Children's Choir comes. What is this? Why am I saying this? Because sometimes when God puts a dream in your heart, you think, is it possible? How am I going to make it happen? But if you'll be obedient to God, eventually things will happen that will tell you it was a God idea, not a good idea. The only way you can inherit it is to be obedient to God, to trust God, to put your faith in God, and He'll make it happen. And so today we're seeing these children go and tell their stories. One of the things that's exciting to me is that three, four, or five of the children that are on the choir, every choir now, the 100th choir, has five children who were rescued as babies. Some of them premature, some of them abandoned in hospitals, some of them who were dumped at the police station or left in a church, and they bring them to Watoto. And we put them in a baby's home, and we have the best care for babies that are premature in Uganda. And those little children get healthy and get strong, and then we help them up until they're 2 years of age, and then we put them in our children's villages, and then they get chosen to go in the children's choir, and then they stand up and they give their testimony. They tell their story. What are we telling the story of? That when you trust God, when you put your faith in God, it's greater than the fear that will try to hold you back. So we're here this weekend to celebrate 25 years of God taking little children, sending them around the world, not to raise money, not to do what we think are important things, but to do what God knows is important. Tell the story of an amazing God. You know, what Marilyn and I want to do, and what we want to do as a church this weekend, is celebrate that and listen to some of those songs that we used to sing. And that great celebration that we had last night was absolutely awesome to hear some of those old songs again. But we also want this weekend to be a weekend that will inspire you, the next generation. God wants to put a dream inside your heart. God wants to put a vision inside your heart. God wants to do something significant. He wants to write a little bit of history. He wants His story, history, to be told again. Not my story, not Marilyn's story, not my generation's story, your generation's story. And the God that we're serving is the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you will trust Him, if you will be obedient to Him, He's gonna do something significant.
But friend, you gotta choose. You gotta choose. Is your faith gonna be stronger than your fear? Or is your fear gonna be stronger than your faith? You know, like David, when he stood before that giant, I'm sure he thought he needed a bazooka. And what did God give him? A slingshot.
Wow. God will take what's in your hand, the ordinary thing that's in your hand. I'm excited about the future for Watoto Children's Choir. Watoto Children's Choir is now about going out with fresh, new African worship. Songs that our children have written. Songs that we have written here at Watoto Church, and singing them around the world. Look at what this amazing God has done. So our best years are not behind us. Our best years are not even these years that we're living in right now. Our best years are the years that lie ahead, as we put our faith in this awesome God who's given us some fresh new things to do. And we're going to talk about some of those things in the weeks that lie ahead. So we want to conclude this service by asking you, Will you trust God? Will you put your faith in God? Will you ask Him, God, what do you want to do in my life, in my family, in my business, in my school, in my job, in my workplace? We need to ask God as a nation, what do you want us to do, God, in this nation?
Yes.
We need to ask God as a city, what do you want this city to look like? And it's going to be intimidating when He says, I want you to help clear out the slums. I want you to help rescue some of the most vulnerable women in the city, HIV positive, abandoned. We're going to talk about those things in the days that lie ahead. It's going to seem like it's a huge dream. We're going to build school. We're going to talk about it. Schools and businesses to create jobs. It's too big, except for one thing, an amazing God who can make anything happen if we'll do it for His glory and for His honor. And I want you to be a big part of that. So can we pray with you? Can we conclude our hour just by praying? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you're a God of impossibilities. When it seems impossible, it's about to be a miracle.
Mm.
That's who you are.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that you'd raise up this next generation of beautiful young African, Ugandan young people to create, with your help, a new Uganda, a new Kampala, a new Africa, not one of poverty and disease and brokenness and corruption, not a nation and a city full of slums, but a nation that's a beautiful nation, happy, healthy, whole, prosperous. I pray that you'd raise up politicians and teachers and businessmen and preachers and people in every part of our society who will have a dream and a vision and a call from you to do something great, to make our nation what you want it to be. We thank you for that. We thank you for what you did yesterday. We thank you for what you're doing today. But we're excited about what you're going to do tomorrow and that we can be a part of it. So we commit ourselves to that. Thank you for 25 years of Watoto Children's Choir. But God, I pray that in 25 years we'll say, wow, that was just the beginning. Look what God did. So we look forward to that. We'll give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said together,
amen.
God
amen.
Bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.